Coming up next on All About Android, we discuss Google Play Points that's coming to the U.S. We discuss Moto Razr, which is leaking now. And also Samsung showed off something that looks kind of like a Moto Razr. So maybe this is the next wave of foldables. Xiaomi announced the CC9 Pro and Mi Watch. Motorola also has the Moto 360 third generation, sort of. Tons of app news, your emails, and more next on All About Android.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring isn't easy, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple and smart. That place is ZipRecruiter, where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Android. And by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. Yes, it's that easy. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 445, recorded on Tuesday, November 5th, 2019, your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ayo.
Oh, yeah, you are. Three of us in the house. And Victor, you have returned. No more Burke behind the desk, although Burke did a great job last week, but it's good to have you back.
Yeah, I guess Burke did okay.
Did you see what happened?
Yes, I did. I had to edit it.
He had to edit it. Oh, boy, I'm sorry about that.
Oh,
returning to the show, it's great to have you back. Caitlin McGarry, senior writer at Tom's Guide. How are you doing, Caitlin?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's awesome to get you on. You were on a podcast of this person I know named Florence Ions. Podcast a couple
Caitlin
of weeks
was
ago.
My pilot episode.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. She was the first one that I interviewed. And it was, thank you, Caitlin. It was an experience.
It was. It brought us
Caitlin, are we
together.
Recording? Are you sure we're recording right now? So,
podcast professionals.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Yep.
It works.
Do what you got to do. Well, it's great to have you back, Caitlin. I appreciate Thank you joining you. Us on this evening where it is darker earlier. And I'm sorry about that, but I have no control over that.
I'm actually, of all of us here, I'm really sorry to Ron because Ron is the one on the East Coast in the very lateness. Whereas the rest of us, we still get to, like, you know.
So yeah, you got your whole evening ahead of you. I'm missing The Little Mermaid live right now.
Poor you. Poor Ron.
Yeah. It's fine.
Wait, so are you actually upset about that or not?
We talked about this. You got to tune into the pre-show to watch us live.
Sorry, was it the bathroom?
I was oddly curious about it. So
I'd say Ron's incredibly upset about it.
I don't mean any more live action Disney. I mean live action Lady and the Tramp.
Was there a live action Lady and the Tramp?
It's coming.
There will be on November 12th on Disney Plus.
So wait a minute, how does that work?
How do those dogs eat spaghetti?
You'll have to tune in. I mean, how did the Lion King live action work? It's the same way. It's the same stuff. So
don't ask too many questions.
Well, no, wait a minute. I have to because I'm so clueless. I'm super clueless. How did the Lion King live action work?
Well, I'll tell you this.
People
much.
Dressed in
Billy
costumes?
Eichner was the best part of it, in my opinion.
I did not see it.
Oh, okay. Like, I just imagine, like somebody dressed up in a dog costume running around. Is that
no,
what it is?
No, but it was real animals, but Seth Rogen is the voice of Pumbaa, which is, and he has that laugh, and it's just like, this is not Pumbaa, this is Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. All right, well, let's not ask any more questions about what a mess that show probably is.
I rented it on Google Play, too. I paid $4 to rent that.
Wow.
More power to you.
That seems excessive.
Yeah, $3 tops.
But it's relevant in bringing it up to one of our news items that's coming up in the next segment. So,
okay. So then why waste any more time? Victor, it's time for the news.
You guys recorded without me last week, so I guess I'm going to have to wait till next year to show all those like Halloween bumpers I made.
Oh, yeah.
So here's Android news.
It's true.
I I got to tell you, it was like bumper roulette with Burke. And honestly, I'm cool with doing that every couple of months. That was a lot of fun.
That was a little chaos.
It's great to do that, but we have to not expect it at all. That was the beauty of last week, is that it was totally unexpected every single time. Now we know to expect it if Burke fills in. So, all right. So we talked about this a little bit last week when it was still a, this was probably going to happen, but now it's happened. Alphabet did indeed announce its acquisition of Fitbit last week. The announcement spoke about how they are working toward the quote next evolution of Wear OS, which kind of to me makes it sound like Fitbit and Wear OS would indeed overlap. We were wondering if this was going to be a Nest sort of integration where it's like, no, you know what? You be Fitbit, we'll be Google. And
then we'll roll you up into the company 5 years from now and force you to change buildings and
we see where that led to. So I don't know that Google's necessarily said specifically, like, this is our plan with Fitbit. So people are just kind of left wondering still and guessing. But that wording and some other hints lead me to believe that there's going to be some overlap there.
Caitlin, you had a really great take. So Caitlin covers wearables at Tom's Guide.
Awesome.
Like a lot of them and all of them, really. And you had a really good take on Twitter. Would you like to share that with us?
Please do.
Your take.
Sure. So I think this could be really interesting. I mean, it makes sense for Fitbit because their financials were terrible. I mean, every quarter was getting worse and worse. So they were definitely looking for a way out. And for Google, it doesn't make sense software-wise because Fitbit OS is terrible. But hardware-wise, they need something. They have some of Fossil's IP, which they bought, I believe, last year. Mm-hmm. And they acquired some of the engineering team at Fossil as well. So now with Fitbit and Fitbit hardware, it seems like something is about to happen. But Wear OS has to get much better. I mean, the interface, the fitness features, the sensors, everything is behind. So I'm hopeful that Google will use this to its advantage and come up with a really solid competitor to the Apple Watch because there isn't one. So we'll see.
Anyone worried about, because there were a lot of people worried about kind of like the data implications of the deal. Google said it's not going to use any of this fitness data that Fitbit has been accruing for the many years that it's existed for advertising. Yeah.
That was all the punchlines related to that.
But Google is a data-hungry company.
Well, and also Apple, from what I mean, I actually don't know how they use the health data, but I know that they have a lot of, they've put a lot of money into like health research. And so I wonder how that would be used. One thing that actually my husband brought up as we were moving, because we were talking about this while moving, which just shows how embedded it is in our brains. But he was
I'm not surprised to hear that.
I'm not surprised to hear
yeah.
that.
But he said, you know, this also means that they have all that data on Apple users that use Fitbit. Because if you're integrating your Apple Watch with Fitbit or whatever, you have a Fitbit because you don't want an Apple Watch. Now you have Apple users' data to use in your whatever research you're doing to kind of like become a better health-centric wearable kind of thing.
But that's not that. I mean, that's a little tinfoil hatty. I mean, they have Apple user data from all the iOS users using all Google apps on iOS.
No, I know, right? But I mean to make it better. Like not in a native, but just like in the, now we know like what users are getting from, I don't know. That's what we were positing. We were just spitballing.
Possibly. Trying to figure out the thing. Yeah. It's interesting. I think not to take away from the data privacy kind of thing, but the funny thing that I thought of is one of my friends who's not one of us, but normal, was like, oh, Google bought Fitbit. I was like, well, actually Alphabet bought Fitbit. And the response was, well, what's Alphabet?
Oh.
And I thought that was funny even in light of Facebook's rebranding that happened this week as well, which is just like how into all this stuff we are. But to the rest of the world, like, these brands and like Google bought Fitbit and that's what it is. Like, it's just funny how the Alphabet thing hasn't really taken off with the public as it was.
Yeah.
That was my fun kind of observation from this.
I mean, and I live and breathe this world too, and I still get tripped up on that. I still refer to things as Google did this when it's really Alphabet. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe that was the intention.
Maybe they should come out with soup.
Oh,
that's a rim shot, Victor. Where's the rim shot there?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Tried.
Again, we'll see how this plays out down the line. But anything that Google or Alphabet would say, as far as like, oh no, we're gonna let Fitbit kind of be its own, like,
no, that's not gonna, no.
If ever that comes out, just remember Nest. Just never forget Nest.
Yeah,
in that regard.
Forget Nest. Yes. Yes. Well, other things we don't want to forget about are when we get free stuff. Everybody likes free things, especially in this economy. So Google has created a new rewards program for the Play Store called Google Play Points. Easy to remember. So it was first launched in Japan in September 2018 and then in South Korea this last April. It is now coming to the U.S. starting next week. You can sign up for free. So basically what the program lets you do, you can redeem play points for Google Play credit, items and discounts in certain games, and donating points to various nonprofits. That's why I kind of brought up that little thing about renting a movie, because I imagine that this is something that would help you accrue some money towards that. Four levels of offerings with better perks the higher you go. There's a bronze, silver, gold, and platinum level. And there will be occasional promotions, like triple points on purchases for the first week. So anybody who's ever been a part of the Sephora Rewards program will know exactly what this is like. Thank you, Caitlin, for laughing
at
that one.
I'm a member.
Well, because they do, like, anyway. I'm not going to explain that one. One thing on my mind that I was wondering about this is, am I going to reap the benefits for this being a PlayPass subscriber?
Oh. Ooh, interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
Paying $2 a month, and I would like some money back.
Yeah, every month you would get a small amount of tokens or points.
I mean, I'm already filling out the surveys and getting money that way. Mm. You know, because I offer
up my
location
data. How much money are you getting for those?
I make about $1 or $2 a month, which I use to rent Disney movies that are questionable
you get $1 or $2 a month and you use that money to rent 25% of a Disney movie that is questionable.
Yes.
Okay, true. Just checking.
I'm not sure if it's worth it.
Yeah, right.
That's where I was getting at.
The trade-off, yeah. I don't know if that's worth it.
Well, I'm not paying for in-app purchases anymore because now I'm trying to directly go the route of the Play Pass. Like, what is the Play Pass offering me? What can I get in this, like, membership? You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point.
And I try to steer my husband towards it because we have the family, like, you know, plan. He's on my family, whatever. So he benefits from it.
Mm-hmm. Just think of all the money you're not spending on in-app purchases. But would you have been spending them before anyways? I guess you actually do in-app purchases on certain games.
I do. I do a lot of in-app purchases on apps.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Support your devs.
Support your devs
and also unlock some features. Yep. But I don't know how, I'm curious how this is going to, I hope that I get some money back for like investing in the Google Play Store. I mean, I buy my eBooks there. I buy my.
What money back are you gonna get? I'm glad that you've committed to this ecosystem and are giving them your money. And I think this is nice for them to give you points to get more goods from that ecosystem and have a way to deposit charity, but you're not gonna get any money back.
But listen, I'm a coupon person. Okay. I show up to the grocery store with my printed out 25-cent off.
Cool, okay. But then you realize coupons don't give you money back, right? Like, it just takes money off what you're paying. Like,
yes, I know, but it helps a little bit here and there, you know?
It depends on how you look at it, I suppose.
Do you justify purchases by going, oh, I can write it off of my taxes?
I used to, and then I learned that it doesn't matter.
You are the answer to that.
Then you found out that you can write it off your taxes, but you still have to buy it.
Yes. Like,
yeah. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. You're only getting money back if you were going to buy that thing to begin with anyways. If you were actually going to buy it and then, oh, hey, here's a coupon.
I know.
And then you get that 25 cents back or whatever.
I've fallen into the capitalist machine, okay?
I understand what you're saying.
But not really well. Like you probably should do some research on some of those like cashback credit cards and things like that if you're doing so much purchasing. And
I do. I have those as well.
Yeah. Good then.
I'm learning as I go, Ron. Okay.
Oh, not very fast.
Listen, anyway, Ron, you have the next one.
I do have the next one. Let's move away from that. So, Motion Sense on the Pixel 4 is one of the cool key differentiators of the Pixel 4 from everything else. And this wasn't a surprise to me, but it's not expected to be opened up to third-party developers anytime soon. Google told our friends over at Android Police that they have no plans to roll out an API, quote, right now, but we'll let you know if plans change. And Motion Sense at the moment does a couple of things. You can silence the phone with alarms and things like that, reach to check. Music controls in some apps to skip songs, and game controls in Pokemon, Wave and Hello and Headed South and things like that. So they're keeping the Motion Sense close to the vest as a key differentiator for Google and their own Google apps. So it's going to be a little while before third-party devs can put it into their apps. I don't know if this helps Motion Sense or limits its growth.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Or if this is just kind of Google's... This is what Google does when they bring something new to some of their Pixel phones is that they keep it really locked down and special, you know, just them. And then eventually they do open it up. Like how long until they do that? Could 6 months?
But is this really a differentiator in that regard in the same way that the night sight was, the camera stuff? Or is this more of an indicator that Motion Sense isn't really ready for prime time?
Well, that's a good question. Caitlin, do you have any opinions on Motion Sense and kind of like where it's at right now? Have you had the chance to play around with it?
I have. To me, it still feels a little gimmicky. You can tell there's something there. Like I appreciate what they're trying to do. I just feel like it's not quite ready. It's not quite useful enough. It's a little more impressive than LG's version, which I hated. So there's that. But yeah, I think the lack of an API is a signal that it's not quite there. But hopefully we do see one eventually because I think it would be really cool. I think it would unlock a lot of really useful features in other apps. So hopefully.
I mean, really what we're seeing right now with Motion Sense is very limited to hand exists there or hand is moving one way or the other. And there's only, you know what I mean? Like there's
hand
no
exists there equals yes.
Right. So even if this was opened up, it really like what, like maybe skipping tracks is about as complicated as things get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, or whatever the analog of that is to another app with a function within that app. I don't see Motion Sense the way it is right now, getting more fine-tuned control-y.
It's the wrong platform.
Yeah.
It should be in the smart displays, in the smart speakers. It shouldn't even be in the phones,
yeah.
In my opinion.
I think it would do really well there.
And I mean, it is in the Nest Hub Max, the one that they launched that I think we kind of forgot about.
The Soli's in the Nest Hub Max?
It's not Soli, but you can like wave your hand and it like knows when you're there and stuff like that. And
the new Mini knows it.
Yeah.
It kind of has that proximity sensor in it so that when you get close to it, it like lights up the lights.
Yeah. I would like to see some accessibility features unlocked with Soli.
Well, that would be neat. Like,
and a greed flow. And the thing also is that like when we talk to the folks at Google on the Android team about gestures and a new way to interface with your phone, it just seems kind of kludgy to also introduce Motion Sense at the same time while you're trying to train people on how to use their phone in a different way and then add in this other thing that can only do so many things. I think you're right that, you know, implementing it on the devices might have been a better first step than the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is not a marketing point here. You're not going to sell me on wax on, wax off.
Although that would be a good game, a Karate Kid game, and it's like, all right, get ready, go. And you have to wax on, then you have to wax off, and paint the house.
I feel like that would get old really quickly.
And paint the face. Well, and you know what? Honestly, that's a really good point, right? Like, even with the two game examples that they give, like, yeah, it's neat that, like, in that, what was it, Headed South game that I showed off.
The one that you played last week.
Last week. Yeah. Like, it's neat that, like, at the right time, I have to wave my hand over the phone. But really, that's all I'm doing. Yeah. Instead of hitting a button on the screen, I'm picking my hand up and going, oh, and doing the same thing. And, like, it's just kind of unnecessary. Like, it doesn't really matter.
It didn't look
much.
Fun. Like, it looked pretty and cool, but it didn't look fun to me.
No, and it wasn't like that particular motion drew me into hours and hours of gameplay. Like, oh, now I get it. You know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, it's tacked on.
Now I get it.
You know, so over time, maybe not so fun. Maybe the Karate Kid game is just a bad idea. I'm sorry I mentioned it. Michael from Washington wrote into AAA at twit.tv and said, was watching the recent episode on the topic of universal RCS messages from the big four carriers. A few days later, my father sent me a few images of the construction being done by his house and a video. The pictures came in, but got the following message when he sent me a video. He is on Verizon and uses the default Verizon's messaging app, where I am on T-Mobile and on the Pixel 2 XL using messages by Google. The link directs you to the Verizon app on the Play Store. If this is how each carrier will try and implement RCS, it's doomed to fail before it starts. Thought you'd all want to know what a real-world example looks like here. And I'm not entirely certain that this is what would happen with the carriers having control over this, but we did talk about the carriers building their own app to support their version, their flavor of RCS. So it's not outside of the realm of possibility. Like, this kind of looks like it could happen.
I think that's more just a Verizon move. That's something that they do. They always want to push you towards that app, which is very annoying. Like, if you buy a phone from them, it will be the default by default until you, like, switch over, which is why I haven't bought a phone from them in about 5 or 6 years.
But apparently people get those phones with those defaults and they don't change them.
No, because they are not empowered with the proper information.
Or they don't care.
Saddens me.
Or they don't care.
Or they don't care.
They're just like, this is just the messaging thing that's here. Like, I could care less about switching this out for anything else. This thing sends messages.
Well,
and that's
the
what
Verizon people, they push it on you too. Like, and I know because my mom has a Verizon phone and she uses Verizon messages. And I'm like, why?
I can't talk about messaging. It hurts. It just really hurts. Because we had this wonderful, glorious thing. And it's just so, it's the worst when I think about the smartphones and all this, then how far we've come in the 7 years of doing this show and 10 years of smartphones and the next wave of technology. And it's just like, It's almost as bad as how badly the music industry screwed up digital music. Right? Like, it should go down in business and technology history as some of the biggest misses of our generation, at least. So,
I mean, messaging is a really big use case of smartphones. Yeah. What do you think, Caitlin? How do you feel about this idea of the carrier backed or the carrier created RCS standard that was announced a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have AT&T, but I try not to deal with them at all. anything that drives people to use a carrier app or a carrier service is, I give the side eye to it. But
rightfully so.
It could be useful for some people. I'm not sure.
We really just don't know. They could create, the carriers could create the best messaging app ever in the history.
No, they won't.
I couldn't even finish that sentence. I'm sorry.
But I did want to say that it was, because I'm always jealous. I'm always the green bubble in my friends' groups. You know, I don't have iMessages.
Don't be jealous. Be proud. Come on.
It kind of sucks when your best friend sends you a video of her cute dog and you can't see it's like, it's dialed down when it's sent to you.
Here's the thing. If that was truly your best friend, she'd go over on a WhatsApp just for this reason.
It's my fault. I didn't go over there. I have her on WhatsApp. But anyway, but the thing is, I messaged my friend with Android messages in an Android phone the other day. and she has like all the read receipts and everything. God, for a glorious moment, I was just like, this is so beautiful.
This is how it could be.
I saw that she read this. Oh my God. I've been validated. Like, oh.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I don't get that when I message my Apple friends.
No, it's more womp womp.
Anyway.
I don't know.
It's okay.
All right. Well, let's. I got to stop talking about messages. Let's take a break for something a little more sunnier, and let's thank our first sponsor this episode. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. And listen, if you are in a position where you need to hire people for your business, you know that hiring can be a slow process. Here's a great example. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. Then he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he got candidates to apply. He used the candidate rating feature in ZipRecruiter to filter out his applicants and was able to focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates within the first day. And listen, over the years, I've managed teams. I've had to hire people. I've had to bring on new employees. And between writing the job description and getting it posted and having it look right on all those various sites and then sifting through all the resumes and doing all that stuff, it's like it's enough to – like it keeps you from doing business because you're spending time trying to find someone to help you do business. And so it's a blessing that ZipRecruiter exists and makes hiring that much easier. And the best thing of all is you get qualified candidates and you can get them within days. That's the amazing thing. That example is true. I've heard more and more stories about how ZipRecruiter can change the hiring game. So see why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at their website, ZipRecruiter.com/Android. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Android. ZipRecruiter.com/Android. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Thanks, ZipRecruiter.
Thank you, ZipRecruiter. All right, and now it's time for some hardware news. A lot of it, kind of. I mean, some of it's normal hardware. Yeah. Still recovering from the burk, are you, Victor?
Kind of.
Yeah, Burke will do that to you. Flo, you got the first story.
You know, Jason, I actually kind of wish that you put Ron's story before this story because I already have a comment about this story in relation to Ron's story.
But you know what? You know what? This is our show. Look, I just dragged some
Ron,
cells.
Ron, I'm going to toss it to you.
Ron, you go first. We got
all
the
right.
Power.
Listen, as we all know, I'm on the foldables beat. And it's pretty exciting that Motorola and the upcoming Motorola Razr foldable has got some leaked images.
Oh.
Friend of the show, EvLeaks, leaked a bunch of images of the upcoming handset. There's a display on the outside folded. Not what I expected. Some sort of button or fingerprint sensor on the outside as well. The button might also be a release that flips the phone out, maybe a spring-loaded hinge. And earlier leaks that were less photographic involved the specs of being a Snapdragon 710 with a 6.2-inch OLED foldable display, 600x800 secondary outside display, which is pretty low res, to be honest with you, and a possible $1,500 price tag, according to Wall Street Journal. We're just going to have to stay tuned until next week, my father's birthday on November 13th, and if we'll find out if EvLeaks's posts here are true. But I got to tell you, I am very close to signing up for this one. This one is just too sweet not to jump on board for.
Interesting. I mean, it is very interesting. That's it folded out, so it's got that like traditional like Motorola Razr throwback design
that
with the
bezel.
big like fat chin down there.
The fat chin. Caitlin, the good old fat chin.
Are you like intrigued by this return to old school form of Motorola Razr?
I am. So I had a Motorola Razr.
Yeah,
I did. I had that phone when I met my now husband years and years and years ago. And then when I broke it, he could only call me on my dorm room phone. So I have a lot of nostalgia for this. I'm a foldable phone skeptic. So I'm not sure how I feel about this, but I do love, you know, throwback tech. I would like to see, you know, Apple bring back old school iPhone design. I like that sort of vibe. I love the Nokia banana phone. That was great. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I would actually want to use those things again. I just appreciate how they look. So
that's the thing. Imagine the looks you love with the technology of today merged into the device you never knew you needed or wanted.
But do you think the UI will be good?
No. No. It's going to be ridiculous. This is what's great. It's going to be ridiculous. You see, Caitlin, I want to lean into the weird and I want to lean into the bizarre of like what – I mean, honestly, I have not even given a thought about a foldable phone in ages. And it's funny because I was on a conference call a couple of weeks ago and we were just talking technology. We were talking about this project and I made a reference to – being at an event and someone not having a smartphone and not being able to access the conference, you know, schedule and things like that. And someone on the call was like, oh, I don't have a smartphone. I have a feature phone. And I was like, get out. You have a foldable feature phone? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, listen, Motorola might have something that you're interested in.
I think at this point, though, if someone's still on like a foldable feature and they're probably there for a reason. They're probably away from the smartphone for a reason.
I just love that this is the thing that puts them over. They're like, listen, I've been waiting for a foldable version of this. And this is this is great. We need to embrace the weird in form factor. That's all I'm saying.
And we don't have to wait that much longer because the announcement is very soon, right? It's November 13th. So is that next week? 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, that's next week.
Ron's dad's birthday is next week.
November 13th. Let's yes, it was. Forget. I already bought his present. Luckily, he doesn't watch.
So. Wait, what was the price tag on that, though?
It could be $1,500.
That's rumored
insane.
Price tag.
That's insane.
That's expensive. Now, was the original Razor, though, for its time was pretty pricey, too, because I remember when it came out, wanting to get it, but realizing it was just a little bit more expensive than some of the other phones. Mind you, the prices have shifted dramatically.
Yeah, because back then you could get a subsidized phone for like $80.
Yeah, yeah. You had to pay more for the original Razor.
Which was a lot when you're in high school, let me tell you, and your jobs are making websites for people in town.
Now the inside screen, have to imagine if it's a single screen, it's going to have that kind of like plasticky or, you know what I mean, that soft touch plasticky.
Mm-hmm. And it's not going to have that
display
clap,
technology. That. Well, I don't know. It might.
Clap.
I hope so. I think if the Motorola Razr comes out and it doesn't have the snap clap thing when you close it, fail.
Yeah, missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was one of the most satisfying things of that phone was hanging up and just going.
That phone was so popular and it was so bad.
Yeah.
No, it was great. It was amazing. I love that phone.
No, I mean, it was great, like form factor and like what it did for cell phones at the time.
That was big, great. Big deal. But
it really did. It changed things. Yeah. It really
But I remember comparing specs with the phone I had at the time, which was like this kind of chunky Samsung flip phone. And my boyfriend at the time had the Motorola Razr. And I remember I was like, oh, your phone has like this megapixels. Like, oh, yeah, well, mine or actually it wasn't even megapixel back then.
It wasn't even megapixels.
It's like, oh, well, mine's like a little higher on the spectrum.
No, there was a time with cell phones where specs were not a factor, and it was literally just how cool did they look.
Yeah.
That's true.
They just made calls. They only had to look good. That was it.
Right. Or and maybe you could play a couple of really simple games on them or whatever.
Yeah, I think I played Snake a lot.
And then at some point you could actually customize the ringtone with whatever audio file you could hack into it.
I used to record my ringtones with like the audio recorder and set them as the... Because they never had the music I wanted. All the Romanian pop that I really tried to...
Oh, Jesus. Sorry. I
really was reaching for it with the identity back then. Anyway.
All right. Okay. So, Flo, you have your setup.
So, I was going to say, hot off the heels of a flip phone from Motorola, of course, Samsung comes in and is like, yo, peeks in through the curtain.
We got one too.
We can do that.
And so last week was the Samsung Developer Conference, which I was hoping to go to, but I couldn't because life. And Samsung briefly showed off a mock-up of a new kind of foldable that kind of resembles what we just saw from Motorola.
Pretty similar.
So during a section of the keynote devoted to the One UI 2, which is the next iteration of the One UI, Samsung showed off a horizontally foldable phone, very similar to the flip phone that you're interested in, except it flips down.
Let's see. Oh,
there we go.
Oh, there it is.
So for those not watching the visual stream, it went from the foldable book to the foldable up and down, basically.
Oh, my goodness. There it is. So Samsung's got their own little Razr wannabe.
Folding
also.
It down into a pocketable. Apparently, the UI is supposed to follow along with that schematic, so it knows, oh, you're folding the phone. I guess we should make the video smaller, whatever it is that it wants to do. I'm curious if... I actually want to know. I want to verify. Is this available in the Android source code? When they added support for foldable phones, mm-hmm. which way did they add support for it?
From what I understand, I don't think it matters.
Okay.
I don't think it matters which direction.
Because I was just
anything.
Curious if this was like a One UI specific coding or whatever.
And I mean, obviously, I am not a developer. You know, none of us are developers on this show. I don't believe you're a developer, Caitlin. Anyways, if you are, let me know. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I seem to remember the changes that they made to Android 10 being for foldables, just by
any
and
which
large,
way,
any which way.
All right. Well, I guess this is what we have to look forward to in 2020, which I think is perfect because 2020 is a very symmetrical number if you look at it.
Oh,
and
sure.
Of course, like foldable phones are symmetrical.
You can fold 2020 in half. And...
Two plus two is four, which is an even number. So there you go. There's even more like evenness in that.
You're
I
looking
mean,
really deeply into this.
I'm really, really trying.
So let's
take a step back then. Who do we trust with this form factor more? Is Motorola or is Samsung the company to trust to do this better than the other?
Caitlin, I want to hear you what you think first.
Well, I would have said Samsung, except the Galaxy Fold is terrible. It's ugly. Everything is wrong with it. The launch was botched. I don't know. But I do like how this one looks. So maybe they're both going to be disastrous. I don't know.
Well, you did start off this whole segment by saying you don't have a very positive outlook on foldables, so that would make sense.
Well, this Galaxy Fold was—it's not.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, it's not aesthetically.
Well, the argument, I feel like the argument could be in Samsung's favor in that they have a lot to prove after the disaster of the Galaxy Fold, right? They need to rebound. They need a Phoenix rising from the space. But on the other hand, Motorola's got nothing to lose. So sometimes when you've got nothing to lose, you've got everything to win.
That's true.
That's a great perspective.
Yeah. And Samsung, right. I mean, if and when this supposed, device, because they weren't announcing a device. They were talking about One UI and
but
that form factor.
But they did this last year at their developer conference.
I mean, you can assume that they're thinking about it, because otherwise why would they present that? But Samsung will have had some experience developing these devices that fold as well by this
time.
Well,
I've had more than just one phone launch experience. They'll have a botched phone launch and then a second phone
relaunch. Yeah, exactly. So
a lot of lessons that they could have learned. I'm not sure that they have learned them.
Samsung keeps learning lessons.
Hey, you know what though? They have the R&D money to spend on those lessons.
True.
So some of us will keep crashing cars as long as our parents pay for them, right?
Wow.
That is
There was a girl
in high school. She crashed three VW Beetles within the span of like a couple of months, and she just her parents kept buying her a new one. So I remember this so vividly. Anyway.
That is not good parenting.
It's a terrible parenting.
I have so many questions. Okay.
All right. Well, moving on from the foldables and the car crashes.
You got me on the nostalgia kick. Now I'm thinking of all these people from high school. Okay, anyway, let's move on.
Oh, no.
Let's jump over to Xiaomi, who today unveiled a few things, but we're going to start with the phone thing that they unveiled, the CC9 Pro smartphone. 5 total rear-facing cameras. There's a 108-megapixel wide-angle on the back, a 5-megapixel telephoto at 5x optical zoom, 12-megapixel telephoto for portrait shots, 20-megapixel ultra-wide, and a 2-megapixel macro. And let me just say, I'm really happy to see macro getting some time these days. We're seeing a few more here and there, and I'm happy that that's being added because I love macros. The 32-megapixel front-facing camera is inside of a teardrop notch on the front. And we've talked about the 108-megapixel Samsung ISOCELL before, and I think in the phones that it's been in, I can't remember off the top of my head which other phones it's been in. God, maybe it wasn't this. Maybe it was a 48-megapixel. This might be different. Anyways, it shoots 27-megapixel shots combining 4 pixels together by default, but is capable of opening up to 108-megapixel shots in settings. So, you know, you can print these out and hang them up on your entire
wall. MoMA.
Yes, in the MoMA. 6.47 AMOLED, inch AMOLED curved display, in-display fingerprint sensor, Snapdragon 730G. 5260 milliamp hour battery, so large battery there. Headphone jack, Android Pie. Roughly $400 when you do the conversion for 6 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of storage, up to around $500 for 8 gigs of RAM, 256 gigs of storage. So there we go. We're firmly in the 108 megapixel phone camera space.
And of course it's 108 megapixels, of course. Like, oh my God, that's a lot.
It is.
Yep.
Is it necessary? That's always the question that comes back with these ever-rising megapixel counts. What do you think, Caitlin?
No. It's not. I mean, what do you actually get out of that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It just sounds cool.
Yeah.
But, like, for most people, it makes no difference.
I mean, if it's 108 megapixels, but by default it does the 4 pixels... You know, and smooshes them down, and that actually creates a sharper image, like an obviously better image than maybe then. Yeah. But that's not, I don't know, when we hear 108 megapixels or whatever, that conjures up a different thought, which is like, yeah, bigger, better, but.
Yeah, and we saw what happened different. To the sharper image. Sorry.
What does that even mean?
I don't even know.
Didn't they go bankrupt?
They came back.
Yeah, they're fine. Jeez.
Sorry to the sharper image out there. Please do not email me, PR department.
All of our sharper image employees who listen to this show are going to be emailing
us.
Thanks, Flo.
It was such a random reference. I mean, like, if you said, like, look at Enron, I'd make that sense. They, like, you know, so, you know, like, really big and then failed and that sort of thing. But, like, sharper image didn't go that big. And then they went away, but they came back and they're fine.
Right. Maybe I think of Brookstone. Well, you said sharper image so anyway.
It didn't even faze me that I said
Jason
that.
Jason just goes talk. With
in
life.
Context. I just right. Talk. Anyway, let's go to hardware.
Let's go to the other type of hardware.
Yeah, let's go to the other.
Hardware. Sorry. Man, all about Xiaomi more like, huh? All
right. Yeah, you're right.
Well, there's a reason they sell so much stuff overseas. And there's a reason they don't sell anything in the U.S., too. Look that up in your local paper. So Xiaomi actually unveiled something that got a lot of us wondering what, you know, if this is something that would kind of happen across the board in Wear OS. So Xiaomi unveiled a new Mi Watch earlier today. It has a curved rectangular screen, a little crown button for scrolling, and a button below that. They all look kind of similar to the design aesthetic of the Apple Watch. I mean, we have that long kind of squarish rectangular view there. And of course, if you really think about what the Wear OS watches have looked like the last couple of years, we kind of ditched that square face for round faces, I think, after Moto hit it out the park with a 360. It has a 1.78-inch AMOLED display, 570 milliamp battery, which is actually pretty big. Snapdragon Wear 3100, 1 gig of RAM, 8 gig of storage, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, NFC, heart rate monitor, eSIM support for those who want 4G on the go. Also has a health feature that includes blood oxygen sensor, sleep, exercise tracking, and body energy monitoring, which I'd be very curious about how that works.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Body energy monitoring. It's how much energy do you really have? Water resistant for swimming, which is good. Now, here's where I was kind of what I was alluding to. The thing that I saw a lot of people tweet about this today was that it's a skinned version of Wear OS.
Isn't Wear OS like unskinnable? Isn't it like Android Auto where like you aren't allowed to get in there and skin?
Apparently not.
Huh.
Right.
That's confusing.
That's why it was kind of a sticking point, because we're thinking like, now there are Android-based smartwatches out in the market which actually make up a pretty piece of the pie when it comes to market share. But it's just, it's heavily skinned and it's not Wear OS. It's just Android-based. This is Wear OS with a Xiaomi skin on it. Akin to, I suppose, using Xiaomi's UI on a Xiaomi phone, which is actually an Android device. It's a lot to take in. It's for sale in China November 11th for roughly $185 to $290.
Okay. It does look a lot like an Apple Watch. But, I mean, are we really surprised at this point?
No.
No.
I think this is going to sell really well outside of the U.S. I think this is, I think I'm going to go to Europe and I'm going to see all my cousins wearing this.
Really?
Yeah.
In China?
No, in Romania.
Oh, okay.
Do your cousins, like, do they have Xiaomi phones?
Actually, I take that back. A lot of them have Huawei phones.
Ah, there it is. But there just, it is. There's the truth.
No, but there was this other, okay, sorry. There's this other Xiaomi, like, brand. It's called Amazfit or something that you can buy. And it's, like, it's a subsidiary.
Caitlin is confirming the existence of Amazfit.
Amazfit is good. It's very cheap. They make a few different, like, really cheap smartwatches. See? But this is a whole different thing. Like, those aren't Wear OS. Or a skinned version of Wear OS. I've never seen a skinned version of Wear OS before, and I'm not sure I'm into it. I mean, it looks better than Wear OS, but it also looks a lot like Apple. So I don't think that watch will ever come here, and I don't think Google would ever do anything like this.
Yeah, I'm reading an Android Police article on this, and they say they allude to these customizations saying, thanks to the option for extensive Wear OS customizations only available in China.
Oh, interesting.
So apparently you can customize Wear OS in China. There's probably some sort of political reason or something for that. So that's interesting. Okay. Well, I wish I knew more about that.
I kind of do too, because I wonder if that would have helped Wear OS here.
I don't know. That's a good question. Why is Wear OS such a failure? What is it about Wear OS that makes it a failure? Is it like a lack of like intuitive use? Right? Because I mean, I hear it all the time, and I know in my own experience, like, I'm never 100% satisfied with my experience with Wear OS. But what is it exactly? What does Wear OS miss that something like the Apple Watch gets? Like any
brand affinity.
I think it's a lot of things. Like you mentioned, it's not, the interface isn't very intuitive to use. The fitness features are severely lacking. The App Store doesn't have a ton of options. It's not even really that well integrated with your phone. I mean, using an Apple Watch, like, it's basically like just an extension of an iPhone, and that it doesn't feel that way with an Android phone and a Wear OS watch. Also, there's been a lot about, you know, the battery life and the Qualcomm Snapdragon chip, which I think Google could put a little more pressure on Qualcomm to come up with something that is a little more powerful. The newer watches have more RAM, which has made a big difference in performance. But even still, like, when I save a workout, I get like a spinning dial, which that shouldn't happen ever.
Yeah,
it's frustrating. So little frustrating things like that keep it from being as useful as it could be.
And many of them, yeah.
And I do think the controlling of the hardware by the same manufacturer, you buy an iPhone, you buy a watch, you know they're going to work. It's all from Apple. It's all one ecosystem. Yep. Whereas at least, when you're dependent on the OS and on the software level, you've got multiple OEMs, multiple manufacturers. How do you get them to talk to each other? All this sort of stuff. And there's less confidence behind it, I think. Yep. So,
And you can't quite nail all of those little details when you've got all these different manufacturers. I mean, it's absolutely the difference between Android and iOS in a nutshell, right? iOS, like you say, is a tightly integrated thing. Yes, it's locked down in certain ways, but Apple has dialed in that experience across their devices to make sure it all works seamlessly together. And on Android, it's just a different approach. There's a lot of different people in there making tons of different devices, and Google can do as best as it can to integrate it, to tightly kind of integrate these things between these many devices, but it'll never be as perfect and as tightly integrated as something that Apple can do with their Apple Watch.
Yeah.
And that's a feeling that you get by using it. And so I just was thinking about that earlier. I was like, God, we all agree that Wear OS isn't working, but what the heck is it about it? And I think that's
for me, it was
right
battery
there.
Well, we were talking earlier about people with nothing to lose, and Motorola have nothing to lose in foldable, and maybe Wear OS and Motorola have something in common and they have nothing to lose, because guess what? The Moto 360 is back, baby.
Oh, yeah. It's finally like back.
Rising like a phoenix from the ashes, the third-gen Moto 360. And this time, Motorola licensed its name to a company called eBuy Now e-commerce. So this actually isn't really Motorola. Mm-mm. It's when you're buying an eBuy Now e-commerce, you're buying quality. So let's not forget that. Either way, this looks interesting. It's running. It's on Snapdragon Wear 3100. It's got a 1.2-inch circular AMOLED, a 355 milliamp battery. It's got fast charge, 1 gig of RAM, 8 gig of storage, Bluetooth 4.2, NFC, GPS, heart rate monitor, and stainless steel. It's got two buttons there on the right side, and one rotates, which is pretty cool. And it's going to come out in December in the U.S. And Canada and the U.K. for just $349.99. And you can pre-order this now. Once again, this is eBuy Now e-commerce with the Motorola brand on top of it. Because, hey, you got nothing to lose. You loved the Moto 360 last time. Let's go back to memory lane this time.
Rob Bot in chat says, that sounds like a seller on AliExpress.
Yes, it does. I was totally thinking that.
It's not just eBuy Now. It's eBuy Now e-commerce.
Yes. The catchiest OEM name.
In Comic Sans.
There we go. Caitlin, I have to ask, because you are so deeply entrenched in the wearables. Were you ever a Moto 360 user? What do you think about this?
I was not, but this is crazy. it's not even Motorola. It's Wear OS, which, as we already discussed, has many limitations. The price is
it's pretty
ridiculous.
Expensive. Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
That's a ridiculous price. Like, who would buy? No one. If you buy a $350 smartwatch from eBuy Now e-commerce, I have so many questions.
When you buy eBuy Now e-commerce, you buy equality.
Like, what are you doing with your life? No. Okay, I'm gonna get it and review it probably. So stay tuned. But I don't know. This is wild.
I'm really curious about this. I totally agree. $350 is expensive for this watch.
For some random manufacturer you've never heard of.
But
yeah,
I mean,
just for the market. That's an Apple price. No one else can charge that much. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Spec wise, pretty decent. I mean, as far
specs
as that's concerned.
Are specs.
But you're right. No, I completely agree. But specs are specs. But they at least got that looking decent. So that's what has me curious to actually use it. To be like, all right, so then does it improve anything?
You notice how wonderfully masculine it is.
Yeah. Do you think would look good on my wrist? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but I'm just also trying to say this is clearly not.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Well, I wonder if they did anything to Wear OS to differentiate it from a Fossil or any of the other watches out there that run on Wear OS, because if there's nothing aside from how it looks, then you shouldn't be paying that much for it.
Yeah, I mean, probably their own, you know, special watch faces, which, I mean, to my mind is what you can usually, is one of the only things that you can usually customize with Wear OS is the watch faces. All the UI and interface stuff is usually standard, except for Xiaomi, apparently.
I'm looking into eBuy now, e-commerce. Yeah,
what are you finding?
And I'm trying to figure it out because their website is eBuy Now and ebuynow.com. And basically what they say, we power brand expansion with 15 years of working closely with major brands. We have programs and services focused on assisting brand lift and reducing time to market for connected products. And they say they work with Microsoft, Intel, Panasonic, Samsung, Sharp, and Yamaha. And I Googled eBuy Now e-commerce and Motorola, and there's all these weird mentions of eBuy Now e-commerce in like MotorolaStore.com's terms of service and in support for Moto Mods and stuff like that. This is weird.
Huh.
Like, I wonder if eBuy Now e-commerce is just powering the to market for these products, and it still is a Motorola watch. Right, I don't know. It's weird. I'm gonna look into this a little more and try to peel back this onion. Apparently, they worked with Kodak. This is crazy.
Okay,
so
maybe this is like an elaborate front or something.
I was gonna say.
I don't. Okay.
Who the heck knows?
Let us know. Please do this investigation and report back.
Yes, we challenge you, All About Android listener, to investigate this for us and send us an email, AAA@twit.tv.
It'll be like that Airbnb scam that was uncovered last week. This will be like that version.
The real story of eBuy Now e-commerce. Just kidding.
So weird.
You're probably a really great company. We don't mean to be throwing stones.
No, they probably do something, but it's like, and they're talking about in the chat room, it is like the most generic, words. It's just all business and branding and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, of course, they mention IoT on their website. This is bizarre.
Buzzword.
Artificial intelligence. Yeah. AI's got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, and machine learning.
Yep.
So, yeah.
All right, let's take a break, and then we'll talk about – we've actually got a bunch of apps in the App News block, so we can blast through those real quick and then get to the arena. But first, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by ExpressVPN. I've used ExpressVPN for a while now. I love it. It's an incredibly reliable way to make sure that my network data is secure. If I'm connecting to public Wi-Fi, I just – tap that button and ExpressVPN, it gets to work and encrypts my data, and I feel just a little bit more secure, and it doesn't slow things down. That's a really big key point about ExpressVPN that I really like. So why should you care about encrypting your data? Well, it's easy for hackers to bypass Wi-Fi security and steal your information by exploiting flaws such as crack, which is a key reinstallation attack. That's just one example. If you've ever used Wi-Fi at a hotel or a shopping mall or coffee shop, all those public Wi-Fi access points, you're sending data over an open network, meaning there's no encryption at all. So anyone who really knows what they're doing can grab that data out of thin air, and it's accessible to them. The best way to ensure that all of your data is encrypted and can't be read by hackers is by using ExpressVPN. Download the app on your computer or smartphone and then use the internet as you normally would. You just click one button to secure 100% of your network data. ExpressVPN is fast and reliable, and it's recommended as the number one VPN provider by TechRadar and CNET. ExpressVPN takes privacy and security to the next level, even further. They invented a technology called Trusted Server to ensure that VPN servers run from RAM, which means no data logs are written to the server's hard drive, even by accident. So check it out for yourself. ExpressVPN is awesome. I use it. I love it. I have it on my computer, my laptop. I have it on my phone. And it's just super easy to use compared to the way VPNs used to be. It used to be a lot more complicated and a lot slower. So check it out. If you want the best in online security and privacy protection, head over to expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. You'll get 3 extra months free with a 1-year package when you do that. Protect your internet today with a VPN that we trust to keep our data safe here at Twit. Go to expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid and you can get started right away. Thanks, ExpressVPN, for your support. And now it's time for a whole host of app news. starting with Microsoft, who announced yesterday
a little company called Microsoft.
Yes, this little startup. You may have heard of them. Maybe
don't
not.
Do that. I'm really tired of the diminishing a very large thing,
a giant conglomerate behemoth.
Someone introduced me to someone that works at Apple a couple weeks ago. Is, oh, they work for just a little company in the Valley. You might have heard of them. They're called Apple. And I was like, oh my God.
All right. I'll put that on my list of things not to say around you, Ron. A new Office app for Android. And basically what they're doing here is Microsoft already has apps for PowerPoint, Excel, and Word that you can get on Android. But they're doing a new app that has basically everything baked into a single Office app. It's available for public preview right now. So you can choose to either do each individual app if you like, or you can, once it's out publicly, you can download the Office app that integrates them all into one experience. Anyone can sign up for the public preview, which is what I did. That's how I have it running here. So I could go in. I could jump into notes or documents. I could create, you know, documents and jump right into creating a Word or Excel or PowerPoint presentation right out of the gate. And I didn't have to install the whole suite of Microsoft apps in order to do that. And so it's a pretty cool kind of fully featured approach right out of the gate. I'm sure this is going to change a little bit before it releases the first half of next year for everyone, but you can check it out for yourself if you're a Microsoft fan or aficionado, then you can get that. It's the Microsoft Office app, and we'll have a link in the show notes for you to do that. It's just signing in, basically becoming a tester, you know, for the beta through the Play Store, as you normally do for these apps when they're in beta. But yeah, kind of a different approach, and I like it. Microsoft's doing some really cool things on mobile, so I think that was a good move. Yours is better, though, Flo. Yours is more interesting.
Another big behemoth has decided to launch an
app. A little company called Adobe.
So they will launch a free Photoshop camera app driven by AI. I'm assuming this has to do with the features that kind of already exist in Photoshop, except they've just kind of been brought out and put into a mobile package. So there's a limited preview of this for now. It uses Adobe's Sensei. Yeah. I don't know why my brain had a hard time with that for a second. It uses Adobe Sensei AI platform, which recognizes the subject in photos and suggests options. God, what is happening with my voice?
It's okay.
And suggests options and filters to apply based on that. The filters are provided by select artists, and users can create their own. The AI allows for easily masking the background and pinpointing the subject to make for some very interesting artistic edits.
I like that.
Ever kind of used this feature again in Photoshop, you kind of know what it works like. It is kind of like magic, and I do want to see what it's like on an Android device, particularly on like a 5.5-inch display. This will be officially launched in early 2020. So just in time for you to edit your holiday photos and make it look like your aunt's head is exploding.
And I'm sure there's a filter for that.
She deserves it. Filter. She talks some mad trash.
Man.
Oh my
God. Wow.
Thank you. Wow. Victor understands the family dynamic of the aunt who talks trash.
Yeah. Putting the family on blast, okay.
Family isn't listening to this podcast, right? Okay.
We hope not.
It's fine.
So come at me. They aren't anymore.
All right. So over in the Google land, those of you with Google Homes have a new Google Home app update that's rolling out to Android. It's got a simpler, cleaner design. I feel like they just did this, by the way. They updated the Home app earlier this year, yeah. I feel like. It's got Home for controlling the devices in the home, much the same as been done in the app. Media highlights for apps for media in use with controls for playback, artwork, etc. A new feed tab, because we need a news feed of our home that acts as the home recap with highlights and important events from the home. And it's like IE notifications, security alerts, audio video clips, priority events. I mean, cool, I guess. I don't need a feed about my home, but whatever.
Yeah, I didn't know that I actually had the update. I just checked now, and it definitely is different. There was an update.
That's the same home app I've been using for a while.
Well, no, but they simplified things. It used to have a bunch of different options down here.
An overwhelming amount.
I see it's simple now. Yeah.
So now they've kind of simplified that a little bit. So I haven't had the chance to kind of get in here and play around very much.
Hey, go back.
Okay.
I want you to click. Where do you have more than one light available? I want to see what it looks like now. Go to living room lights. Oh, it's still
two lights, 100% brightness.
Why didn't they fix that? Why do I have to tap 3 times to get to a specific light? Because here's what's going to happen. Even if you only have one light on in the living room, if you touch that dial on the front page, it's going to turn on the other light you don't have on and adjust it to be in sync with the light that you do have on, and that needs to be fixed. Why give us a new UI? Why not fix that?
It's not really a new UI. It's a enhanced UI.
Well, enhance that feature.
Yeah, enhance that.
Okay? That's because fair. I don't want my nightstand to turn on when I'm trying to turn off bedroom light and dim it so I don't, you know, so I can, like, get into sleepy mode.
Yeah.
Sleepy mode. That's my favorite mode. Okay.
Caitlin, do you have a home sprinkled about with Google Homes or Amazon Echoes or?
No, you know? I don't. I did just move across the country, not fully set up in this space yet. So slowly but surely, I do have an Echo Show. It's currently unplugged because I decided it was too creepy.
Okay.
And that's about it. For now.
So not all in on the home assistant.
No. I'm a foldable phone skeptic and a smart home skeptic. And all the things skeptic, basically.
You're not.
I don't believe it. Unless you're a skeptic of speeding up or speeding down playback of video content on Netflix.
This got me unreasonably angry for some reason. I knew that it would, Ron.
So Netflix is testing variable playback of video content on Android down to half speed, all the way up to 1.5 times the normal speed. As you can imagine, creators, directors, actors, they don't like this very much. Although Netflix did point out that DVD players used to have this option. Yes, you could do this.
Yes, they did. And it was creepy.
I don't know who ever used it, but
I was going to say, where are DVD players now?
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
in a landfill.
This brought them down. This was the end.
They're littering
different parts of the world right now because we. Yeah.
They never went anywhere. They just
here's the thing. I get people do this on podcasts, and Lord knows I don't know why. And you know there are people who do it who love it, and fine, that's fine. But like, come on, man, don't do this for watching TV and movies on fast forward. Like, come on, just enjoy it.
But I can't finish my movie unless I play it at 1.5 times speed, Ron.
Stupid.
I'm curious to see how well it works, but there's no way that I would enjoy watching a movie that I knew was sped up or slowed down.
Imagine watching a drama that's supposed to like have that, that pacing.
Come on, let's get there faster. Come on.
Yeah, and plus also
break up with it faster. You know,
like frame rate and all this. Like, I can't imagine it's. I can't imagine it's in any way enjoyable the way visual things are meant to be enjoyed. If it's someone who's just listening to get through it, then read the Wikipedia summary, man. Come on.
Yeah.
You don't want to enjoy this. Just me. Call me old fashioned.
Thankfully, this is not on by default.
Yeah.
They're not switching everybody over to 1.5 times speed by default. So you got the option. You can choose to be on or off. And it does sound like they're only doing this on mobile. They're not doing this to TV. So if you're watching on TV, you're not going to get the option to speed it up or slow it down for now. Mm. I imagine maybe someday down the line that changes. But show of hands, anyone here who listens to podcasts, speed them up or slow them down? Yeah, I mean, who slows down their podcast? Do you speed it up? No? No one here in the audience? No one here? Okay. Occasionally, I'll go 1.2, but
I know people listen to audiobooks that way.
Yeah, but I feel like with audio,
And back in the day, back in the day when we had tape recorders to record our professors, I know that you would listen back a little faster because your professor drones on and you need to get that information.
Yeah.
So
I know that when I'm listening faster, I retain less.
Like, yeah, it's true.
Agreed.
So, yeah.
Agreed. Well, let me tell you what I'm still retaining.
What's that?
I don't know. That wasn't a good segue.
I was afraid for you to finish that sentence.
I don't know. Listen, I'm loopy at this point. So Android Auto for phone screens. I was going to say I'm still retaining Android Auto because we all know my love-hate relationship with Android Auto.
Is it still working on your phone?
Yeah, it is. Okay. And today it surprisingly worked well. So... fun fact, sorry, I'm going to interrupt this for another digression. I have the same Nissan that I rented from Hertz back in August when we went to LA. The exact same one.
What do you mean you have the same Nissan that you rented? You're still renting it.
No, I rented it again, and they have the same Nissan at the location. I dropped it off, and then I went to go pick up my rental car. And they have this exact same Nissan, same license plate, same scratch in the door that was there already.
It was meant to be, Flo.
And I noticed Android Auto got updated because now it actually works.
Oh, okay. You know? All right.
Doesn't have anything to do with this news item, but I just wanted to put that out there.
Good to know.
So as we wait for assistant driving mode, Google has finally released Android Auto for phone screens to tide us over. It's meant to replace Android Auto for phones, which isn't supporting many phone screens anymore. Of course, when I get my actual car back, we will see about that in a week.
Yeah, take that.
I will say what's interesting is I was poking through the Pixel 4. Now, I haven't fully... moved over to the Pixel 4 yet because I need some stability in my life right now. So I decided I would not switch my phone while also switching houses. Mm-hmm. So I was poking through the emergency app, the safety app.
Oh, I haven't done that.
The one where you can go in and enable car crash detection.
Oh, I should do that.
So that if something, God forbid, happens to you, then all of your emergency info pops up. And by the way, there's a demo inside that app so you can see what it's like. In God forbid the case of emergency, you'll know what the sound it makes and like what's going to pop up when you put that in there. And I was again poking through the settings and I saw like a different Android Auto setting. So I'm wondering if as soon as I switch the Pixel 4, if I'm going to get that new Android Auto interface that I saw at Google I/O, because I still don't have it on the Pixel 3. I still have old school, you know, Android Auto for the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
We'll see.
And I think on the Pixel 4, the original old school Android Auto does not actually work. And so this would be...
Yeah, because I haven't switched over to it yet. I haven't used that functionality yet. So, mm-hmm. But right. I was poking around there to see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'd show you me setting up this personal safety
app. But it's all personal info. It's like your blood type, like medications, what you're allergic to, where you live, like who to contact. It is very... very thorough, and you know, I don't know why it took 10 versions of Android to put that on there, but I'm glad we have it now, I guess.
It didn't occur to them, but now here we are. All right, crash detection enabled. I can get into a
God,
car crash now.
Again. No, knock on wood, God forbid.
I don't want to get in a wreck. Okay, we got an email, Ron.
All right, this comes from Ray, who says, please convince me to stay with Android. I've been an Android user since the Motorola Droid, and I've been happy with it. I had to carry an iPhone for a few years for work and hated it because having to use iTunes to copy audio to the phone, among other reasons. I'm right there with you, Ray. With the advent of streaming services and cloud storage, iTunes is no longer a requirement. I do tech support for some people that have almost zero computer knowledge. I found several times recently where using my wife's phone to connect to them with FaceTime was a real lifesaver. I've heard you talk about the failure that is messaging, and it does not seem like the new standard is much better. Help.
Help.
And I mean, I got to be honest with you, Ray, that use case, FaceTime and doing tech support, I get it. A lot of people have iPhones. If your customers have iPhones, it makes sense to connect to them. So, but if that's your differentiator, here's a tip. I don't know what kind of computer you use, but you can use FaceTime on a Mac laptop, correct?
Yeah, you can.
I believe so. Skype.
Yep, you can.
Or you can also use Skype. Yeah. I mean, like, there are other alternatives to FaceTime that it isn't the best thing. And, you know, it isn't the most magical thing in the world. Even Duo is even an option as well, too, if they're on Android phones. But if you get people to put Skype on their iPhones, you can connect them via Skype on your Android phone, and that will do the same thing.
You can. It's like I get the impression from the email that, like, his clients just – they do have iPhones, and what he's recognized is that it's just really easy if you have iPhones. Many that I know of anyways, including my parents, like, they have FaceTime all set up and everything. So it's really easy to just boop, get them right on a video chat without having to log into a Skype or something like that.
And that's the thing with that use case. I don't blame you at all. If it makes sense for work, do it, dude.
Yeah.
You know, get a cheap, and some cousin of John in the chat room says, get a cheap iPhone on a data plan. You know, don't even have a cell phone number to it. Just have it on Wi-Fi, you know. Another option also Bleak in the chat room mentions, which I use, is WhatsApp is cross-platform and has great video calling and almost works the same way. So, but not everybody's on WhatsApp. And I understand FaceTime is inherently on the iPhone and it's easy to use. That's why, like, if you don't want an iPhone but you have a Mac, using FaceTime on a laptop is an option as well, too. So.
Yeah.
Caitlin uses Skype with me.
I do. I use Skype with many people.
Yeah.
Caitlin, do you use Skype? Do you use Skype to get Flo tech support?
Just with her watches.
Yeah. Which, by the way, my Galaxy Active has stopped working, by the way, which I'll talk about next week, because it, like, doesn't work anymore.
Wow. It's not that old, right?
It's like I bought it in May. Yeah.
What do you mean doesn't?
Touchscreen does not work anymore.
Well, if you bought it in May, like, that sounds like a manufacturer's.
Oh, trust me, somebody's getting a phone call for me as soon as I open some more boxes.
I can't help that.
All right, it's time. Let's jump into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Before you go into last week's, if you recall, I made a prediction.
Yes.
Okay.
And Jason, did that prediction come true?
I'm looking at it right now. I believe it did. Yeah.
Called my shot.
Yeah.
Called my shot.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Good job, Ron. Ron wins with dark mode, 44% of the vote. Second place, Lexus audio editor. 41% of the vote. So you were a close second, Flo. And then third place, drops scripts at 14%. That was mine. Yeah.
And
it's okay.
And with those results, Jason, you and I are mathematically eliminated from competition, although I'm rising like a phoenix and I think I'm going to overcome math.
Somehow.
And so through 44 weeks, Flo has 143 points. She's in first place. The guests are in second place, 113. Jason, you and I are tied now for third, 91 points, rising like a phoenix, this guy. And I feel very good about my pick this week as well. I don't know if I'm going to get first, but I definitely am chasing Flo, and I think I'm going to knock her out of that first spot before the end of the year, regardless of what math says.
Whatever, math.
By the way, 143 is pager code for I love you.
There it is.
So. No idea.
All right.
Okay.
You didn't use pager code?
No, I never had a pager.
I didn't either, but we still wrote 143.
Oh, really?
911. It was all about 911.
Which is like
emergency. Call me now.
Call me now. Call me now.
Exactly.
Here's payphone.
Right. Something just happened. Okay. My app is a quick one, and thanks to Burke, who proposed this to me, and I think also Ron, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to run with it.
And honestly, I've been playing this, so just FYI. it's not a slam dunk like my app last week or this week, but it is a good app. So
maybe not a slam dunk, but it is funny and fun.
It's fun.
It's a pretty straightforward game called Wrestle Up. It is free. It does have ads. So it is like, and there's no real way to get to settings. Like, I'm like, there's got to be a way to, like, purchase so that the ads don't play. I could not find that. Maybe Burke will run in here and yell at me and say, oh, what you need to do is, but I couldn't find it. So basically you have a certain number of wrestlers down here and you have other people, you know, who you're in the ring with and you got to wrestle them. So it's kind of like, pool wrestling. So I've got my wrestler. How can I take down the little players go down pretty easily. The big one obviously like needs full force. So if you're plowing through a couple of other players, you might not get that the bigger player down as easily. And there's a little bit of rebounding that happens too. So I'll go ahead and run that. Yeah. Do a little clothes hanger. I didn't quite get as far as I thought I was going to. Let's see here. Here, let's just do this one. Get this one out of the way. Yeah. And every time you run into him, the phone kind of gives you a little haptic kick. And boom. It's just really satisfying. So it's a pretty straightforward game, pretty simple. Now you can see they're moving. So it's more complicated, right? What on earth am I going to do? I have no idea except that I do, and I kick butt. That's what I'm going to do. And I missed that one. So anyways, you get the picture. This is really what the game is all about. This, and every once in a while, some ads will come in as well. But it's called Wrestle Up, and this is a Burke pick. So if you appreciated having Burke stand in for Victor last week and you want to give Burke some thanks, you'll vote for Wrestle Up. That's how you tell Burke thank you for last week. You vote for Wrestle Up. Wrestle Up is the name of the game, and it is free. Check it out. All right, Flo, you're up next.
Oh, I'm up next?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, it's me already?
It is.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so I brought another planetary app to the arena this week because, you know, I have been wanting to understand what's up there. What is above us looking down?
And also
in an effort to kind of make use of the play pass that I pay for.
That's kind of like your current arena beat right now.
It is. And I don't mean to be tropey, but listen, I'm trying to figure out what it is. Like when I get bumped up to that $5 a month, I want to know I'm paying for quality. Okay?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right now I'm at $2 a month, which is okay, which is fine. That's doable. But when we get to $5 next year, what am I paying for?
Yeah.
So one of the apps that I am paying for, which you can get with Play Pass, is called LoonScope. So I'm actually going to, let me start from the front there.
Ooh, pretty.
So this is really just a really cool interactive way to understand what is happening to the moon above us right now. Now, this has absolutely interactive 3D simulation of the moon. It'll show you all the shadows of the craters. It'll show you the Earth shine on the dark side. You can use... So as you might not be able to see this actually from the camera, but as I'm like pinching, it's changing the time up at the top.
Oh,
and so
like
you can see like what the phase of the moon will be at like 1:06 a.m. And then when you want to get back to where we are right now, so the moon right now is it's 66% full. It is in the waxing gibbous array. I think that is how you say it. And it'll show you like when the moon rises and... I learned that the moon rises in the afternoon. It doesn't rise like at night as we think it does. It's technically visible out there in the afternoon. And it'll tell you when it sets. So it's technically going to set at 12:56 a.m., which is like, what? If you're a night owl, you can sit up and watch and see how the moon moves. But if you're not, you can use this app and it'll tell you. So it does a couple of different things. It tells you like when the next full moon is down here in the bottom, which for those who are ritualistic and rely on when the moon is full, you could also use it for that reason if you need it. You'll know that in 6 days we'll have a full moon. You can look at an actual map of the moon. Did you know that the moon... is like has names, has like places on it.
Yeah.
I didn't actually know this. Again, never took an astronomy class, so this is probably why I didn't know this. But I learned this from this app, which is now what I do sometimes is I go in and I like Google these different names and I try and find out like who named these parts of the moon. Like, is it a crater? Like, is it because something landed there? And it's kind of amazing when you think about how much history the moon has at this point, even though none of us are on it. we just stare at someday, it every night.
Someday, maybe.
I hear it's not the funnest with the whole...
the moon's not that cool.
The moon's not that cool. And you can zoom in and out as you want. So you can like really look at those craters and like see what they're named and what is happening there. Again, I still have to Google and Wikipedia some of this stuff. So I apologize if I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm learning it all from this app. You can go into the calendar, see what phases of the moon is going to, you know, if you're a werewolf, you probably want to download this app because you want to know your most vulnerable times are. So you should probably stay indoors. I would say beginning the 9th. So Saturday through, you know what? Don't leave the house until maybe the 14th. How about that? And Ron, you can tell your dad that on his birthday, there is going to be a 98% full moon. So
I can almost guarantee he does not care.
Okay. Well, you know what?
But I'll tell him. I'll tell him anyway. So
You can also just learn all sorts of data, like orbital data, fundamentals of the moon. A lot of these things. Thanks for showing. Okay. You're going to have to edit that out, by the way, Victor, because it just showed my. But anyway, it shows your location data, of course, from where you are, and it showed the data from where I live because it's where I set it as my default. So this is actually not the moon in Petaluma right now. This is the moon where I live. So it also shows you when to plan for eclipses, which I'm sure some of you just plan your life around your camping time. Maybe you want to. You've got 3 eclipses coming up in 2020 that you can plan for. 4, actually. There's this one in November that's happening. So get to planning your camping so you can go be a part of that. In terms of settings, and there's my location again. In terms of settings, you can increase the realism if you'd like it, and it will download. It's experimental, and it kind of locks up the app a little bit, but, you know, it's experimental. So I stick to high definition. You can also enable a cheese mode. Let's see. Look, it's a piece of cheese.
Oh, that's perfect. I love it.
It's delicious. Delicious. You can change dawn and dusk distance. You can also enable. So the nice thing about the Play Pass is that you're enabling this ability to do a live wallpaper, which uses the current moon phase as your home screen background.
Oh, nice.
I value my battery life, though, so I don't have that on there. But if it's something that maybe you want to enable, you can. There's also widgets, phase notifications. I use the phase notifications, and they actually work with the Galaxy Active. And so I will get like little alerts that lets me know where the moon is at, you know, and eclipse notifications. So it's a full-featured moon app. Everything you know about the moon in an app.
Love it. Very cool. I'm running it on my phone as well, Victor, and I was taking a look at Fracastorius.
Ooh,
and apparently origin is Girolamo Fracastoro, an Italian doctor and astronomer back in
1500s. He was an Italian physician, poet, and scholar in mathematics and geography.
So crater, 194 miles. That is 194 miles.
Wow.
Right there. Very cool. Love it. Interesting app.
Spend
this is Lunascope or Loonscope.
Oh, or it's $3, $4 to buy?
$4 to buy, $4 or if you're buy. On the Play Pass, it is included.
Yes.
There you go. All right. Great pick. Caitlin, I have your app installed. I'll do my best. Oh, I see I need to sign up for it. Well,
You don't have to. You can.
Oh,
you,
I want to explore. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that while you talk about it.
Okay. So yeah, that's one of the reasons I like this app. It's called Depop, and it's sort of like Etsy meets eBay meets Poshmark.
Ooh.
You can shop for specific brands. Okay, so let me give you some background here. So I hate shopping in stores, but I like to shop in apps, and I like to shop consignment or secondhand vintage. It's more sustainable, and you also just find a lot of really cool gems that you wouldn't find like in, you know, retail stores right now. So this app lets people open storefronts or just sell like sort of one-off things. And also celebrities can open storefronts on this app. So you can shop like Dita Von Teese, who's super glamorous, has great vintage stuff. She sells a lot of her items on Depop. And you can just follow people that sell things that you are really interested in or who are the same size as you and be notified when they have new stuff. And it's just super easy. And that's what I really like about it. There's a lot of great vintage pieces on there. And one thing that I really appreciate about this app is that if you look at the Play Store reviews, the developers respond to almost every single review, like with answers or with, you know, feedback. Oh, there's a motorcycle outside. Or like if people have ideas for new features, they're super open to that and responsive. And I always appreciate when a developer responds to reviews like that. So yeah, Depop has a lot of cool stuff. It's menswear, women's, and like sneakers, clothing, accessories, basically anything that you could want. And you can buy and sell. So I think that's really cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
And now I have installed it to sell a bunch of stuff that I've been meaning to sell.
Yeah. And this is perfect. Well, like maternity stuff. You don't want to go out and buy like a whole new wardrobe. You can buy like some really cute, like vintage or secondhand stuff to get you through a couple of months here and there.
Spotty Dottie. Oh, I had so much of that stuff when I was.
Yeah. So much stuff. It's like you can spend hours searching, but it's so much more fun than shopping in a store that just has a bunch of the same stuff.
Interesting. I'd never heard of this, but I love it. I wonder if they have any tall sizes.
So once you sign up, you fill out sort of a profile that has your preferred brands that you like to shop and all of your sizing info. So it'll start to only show you the things that you could feasibly buy and fit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like
so this basically takes the concept of what people were doing on Instagram selling, because like Instagram became such a marketplace, but like just puts it into its own.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. Great pick. Depop, one word, D-E-P-O-P. Depop, streetwear and vintage fashion marketplace. Great pick. All right, and Ron, are you gonna point to the bleachers?
I mean,
and call your shot again or what?
This has at least got to be a double or a triple here, this app. So leaning into how everybody really likes to control their phones, and stumbled upon this one as well. It's called Comatin. And it's got a nifty app icon and app design. But basically what's really interesting about Comatin, or I guess it's Comatin or Comatin, I don't know, is that it's a way to control your phone across all versions of Android from Android 6.0 up. And what it allows you to do is allows you to install different modules that allow you to tweak the way your phone works that historically was tweaks that you needed root for, things like that, but it exposes them at the system level. So if you, Jason, if you click on browse modules there from the home screen right there, browse modules. You can see so far there are 5 modules available. And the way this works is that this is like an app container and there are different modules that you can install. So you can pick and choose the functionality you want. So as you can see here, you can better control your ambient display. They have what they call better rotation. Use any app in any orientation and add the ability to rotate your phone 180 degrees. You can adjust your caffeine settings or add darker brightness, right? Or create, you have parallel split screen stuff. Hide heads up, if you want to hide a messages popping up on your screen. The killer app, Remap Assistant, you can remap how you trigger the assistant to work, change the functionality of it. And then, of course, they've got their own kind of sync kind of thing, which allows you to sync notifications from your phone to PC, similar to like Push Bullet, that sort of thing. So this is a really extensible kind of platform that allows you to control your phone a lot better, but in a way that you don't need to have every piece. You can pick and choose the functionality you want. And then once you as Jason just did, you install a module. If you go back to the home screen on Comatin, see right now, so there's a you got one installed, so you tap on that. One module is installed.
Okay,
and
it tells me there.
Yeah, there you go.
Module browser? No. How do I get? Okay, so it's okay. So now I want to edit it or something.
You want to use it.
I want to use it.
Right.
How do I do that?
There you go. Hang on a second. I did it earlier. Oh, so on the left side, you see installed modules?
Yeah. Modules installed.
Hit that or hit the menu button. And then the middle, you see in the middle of that installed modules.
Oh, I got it.
Remap assistant. There.
I was not seeing that.
Yeah.
One permission required.
Yeah. So once you give all the permissions that are needed, then you're in a situation where you can enable that.
I have to go to Commenton. Okay. So, oops. Nope. Not that one.
Oh, hey-o.
There we go. All right. So now I've got it.
So now you can remap it, you know?
Remap the assistant button home to simulate a hardware button on your phone. I see. So yeah. I could remap it to home or whatever, or to launch an app or take an action.
Which is pretty cool. If you go back to the module browser and install the ambient display one.
Okay. Right?
So if you install that one, this one is pretty cool. I was playing with it. If you hit ambient display. You can turn on the always on display. You can turn on wave to wake. You can turn on show the ambient display when a new message is received from your notifications. And you can open their ambient display designer to customize the animations and looks. Right. So it's really just gives you that much more level of control in and within your phone. It's a lot of fun to play with. I'm curious to see what other modules they'll be adding to it. It seems like a really cool platform for those us power users on Android. So nice. Commenton.
Yep. And that is
free in the Google Play Store.
Nice. Nice pick.
Yeah.
All right. So it's time for you to vote for your favorite app this week in the arena. Go to twit.to/AAApoll445, twit.to/AAApoll445, and place your vote for your favorite app. Is it WrestleUp, Lunascope, or Lunascope? Depop or Commenton? Place your vote like Victor's about to do, and then we'll check in on the results next week. Victor likes the wrestling. Oh, yeah. I'm the macho man, Randy Savage. All right, right on. Or he likes Burke. It's hard to know with this week's vote.
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. Clear as mud. That is it for this week. We've reached the end of this episode.
We have reached the end.
Of All About Android. And Caitlin, it was great to have you back. Thank you for sacrificing a few hours of your evening on Tuesday to be on the show tonight. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Now I'm going to watch The Little Mermaid live.
Oh, it hasn't started yet. When does it start?
Tell me how it is, Caitlin. From everyone that's texting me about it, it's something. So
it is a thing that exists, and I'm sure you will enjoy whatever it is that you end up seeing. Caitlin, so tomsguide.com, you are very prolific on
yes,
the site.
She is.
You write so much there. I kind of wonder how you're able to pull all that off, how one person could write as much as you do. But you do great work. Where can people follow you online if they want to follow you?
They can follow me on Twitter at Caitlin_McGarry, right there on the bottom.
Right on.
And that's it.
Thank you, Caitlin. Really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Great to have you back. And Flo, what's going on with you?
I moved houses. My life is in disarray right now. My office is in boxes.
Yeah.
No. You asked me what's going on with me.
I know. I'm listening.
But, you know, I'm banking up episodes of Honestly Tech. So come into honestlytechpod.com and subscribe. There's only 2.5 episodes up right now that you can listen to on the RSS feed. But you know what? Any download, I appreciate. Just give it a listen. See if you like it. Send me some feedback. And if you want to know where I'm writing stuff or when Twit posts my app arena picks as reviews, you can go to the Flow feed, which is florenceion.com. Mm-hmm. And check out what I've been working on there. So I update that one in chunks. But, you know, that's where you'll get what I'm, you know, coming up to. And soon I'll be back to Twitch streaming. I have a lot of keyboards to put together. So add me on Twitch and I'll let flow.
Not only keyboards. You've got a lot of house to put together, it sounds like.
Yeah, but nobody wants to watch that on a Twitch stream.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, HGTV would...
That's true. You know, I'm
sure if you set that up, people would watch.
That's the internet world that we live in.
Sure.
Ron, what about you?
Yeah, so as usual, you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at RonXO. But for those of you who are looking for more fun podcasts to listen to, I have another podcast that I do from time to time called Finale, and we put out a new episode that came out today, actually. Yes, so we looked at the series finale of The Deuce, which just ended on HBO last week, and that was actually a TV series that both me and my co-host and lovely wife, Carrie, watched from episode 1 to episode 25 together. So go to finalepodcast.com. You subscribe to it on Pocket Cast or wherever, or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. But the new episode is there, and Victor, I've got the link to the website if you want to show people what it looks like. But if you're into the HBO show The Deuce with Maggie Gyllenhaal and James Franco and some other great people, lovely tales of 42nd Street in New York City in the 70s and 80s, it was a great show, and so you can hear us talk about it there. So
this particular episode that you recorded, usually the episode is that one of you has seen it and one of you has not, right?
It's the series finale of a TV show that at least one of us has watched. And in this particular case, it's one that we both watched and we watched together. We thought that'd be fun.
All right. That works. Yeah. That works. Yeah. So. Right on. I need to check out that show. I've never seen that show before.
Oh, it's great. So good. So good. I mean, it was David Simon. So if you watch The Wire or Treme.
Loved The Wire. One of my favorites.
So imagine that, but in New York in the 70s or 80s. It's so good. So good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm there. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Victor, for trying your best to overshadow Burke's performance.
Would you say, Ron, your podcast rose from the fire?
Rising like a phoenix from the ashes. Thank you. Thank you, Victor. You get it.
Thank you, Victor. And also thanks to Jim and Tim from Michigan for sitting in the audience here and making us feel special.
Feel very special because, nobody comes here for the night shows. This is where we have the most fun.
It's okay. So every once in a while, people do.
It's true.
It's okay.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we really do. It's great to have you guys here. Reminder that we are fast approaching the very end of this year, which is crazy. But along with that means that we're fast approaching best ofs, which actually I'm realizing I need to get started on. So if you want to help me out, twit.tv/best of, go there. You can place any moment from this show or any of our shows that you think particularly stood out from this year. The more information you have, the better, but don't make that, if you don't have a bunch of information, but you just have, I remember that one time that blah, 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 like that could even be enough because that might jog my memory and make me remember to go back and pull it. So I would really appreciate that because I'm now realizing this is, usually it's a couple of weeks from now that we have to have them all selected and I've got to get cranking. So twit.tv/best of. But that is it for this week's episode of All About Android. You can always check out this show every Tuesday evening. We publish a new episode to the feed and you'll want to subscribe. You can do that by going to twit.tv/AAA. That's our show page on the web where you can find all the ways to subscribe to our podcast as well as watch it on YouTube if that's your preference. But all those links are there. Plus every single episode we've ever recorded is cataloged there, so you can start from the beginning and be an All About Android completionist. Voicemails at 347-SHOW-AAA, emails at AAA@twit.tv, and find Twit all over the social web, of course, twit.tv on Instagram and at Twit on Twitter. We're all there too, so just search for our names and you'll find us. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.